Hello and welcome to another episode of the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week we'll be looking back on last week's draw with East Fife, preview this Saturday's trip to Dumbarton, and we'll be hearing from manager Jim McAnally as well as Josh Mulligan and Ryan Duncan. I'm Colin Byers, and with me as ever is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you this week?
Yeah, not bad. Thanks, yourself?
Not too bad. Bracing myself for the Christmas rush, although I've got my Christmas shopping done.
I'm last minute. Mine's just on order and hoping it's here in time.
Oh,
like to leave it last minute.
you like to play with fire, do you?
It seems to have come around a lot quicker than I was anticipating. The date doesn't change in the year, but it seems to have crept up a match, obviously.
Well, we're actually ahead of the game for the first time in Christ knows how long, so that kind of was a good thing and a bad thing.
You're looking quite smug, something.
Probably missed something, but we'll see how it goes. As things change, we might not even hear Christmas, and again, that's for another issue for another day, I think. But anyway, lots to go through again, as ever. We've got another draw to discuss, this time against East Fife on Saturday. I'm still kind of scratching my head. It's a couple of days since the game. I'm still not sure if it's a good point or if it's 2 points dropped. I'm not really sure if it's your kind of thoughts on it.
For me, it's 2 points dropped. I said last week that going into East Fife and Dumbarton, 6 points for me really should have been my target. And it's not even like a game that I thought we played particularly well and we were unlucky. I just thought, overall, it was a poor game, but I thought we were poor as well. Lack of tempo and urgency about the guys for some reason.
Poor conditions as well.
Poor conditions for both sides. Speaking to somebody at work today, and he said kind of the lack of tempo within the game. You're looking for somebody in the middle of the park to take ownership of it, and for some reason that was missing on Saturday. It was a big game in terms of neither team really wanted to lose the game, but I don't think a point really suits either manager either. So for me, it's 2 points dropped.
There was that element of there was a fear in both sides, but you just felt that neither side really wanted to maybe can do things that they would deem to be can dangerous, if you like, just to try and get that win, because they knew that, you know, from an East Fife point of view, if they lost that game, they would have been 9 points behind Peterhead. And with their other results going the way they did as well, they would have been further away from the likes of Dumbarton and Clyde as well. And from a Peterhead standpoint, if they lost that game, that gap would have been cut in half. So it would be quite easy for both sides just to kind of play safe. I think East Fife overall probably would have been the happier with the point.
I think obviously we drew with Clyde last week, and then it's another draw against East Fife, and that is teams that we've said numerous times are getting Bruno Boutis, and whilst okay you're taking points off them as well, so they're not getting an advantage on you, you want to try and stretch that gap. So even if you do beat Dumbarton, that's 5 points out of nine. Would it be a good return? Potentially. I'd say it's okay, it's not great, but I think looking at back at East Fife and Clyde, 2 points out of them games, I'm not so sure it's good results, to be honest.
Just the one change for the side that drew with Clyde, or the side that started against Clyde, was Simon Ferrican back in for Hamish Ritchie. Slightly surprised that one for me. I know Hamish maybe hadn't had the best of games against Clyde. I would have probably maybe even started Nia Payne and brought Grant Saver into midfield. And we'll probably come on to Simon in a little bit later on as well, but I just felt in this kind of game you want to try and have as much kind of creative players in your side as you can. You've already got a back three. Do you really need another one?
Yeah, it seemed it was definitely a case of Jim didn't know what to lose the game, and I think that was evident by the lineup. As you said, you've got a back three, you've got two fullbacks with Josh Mulligan and Flynn Duffy, and then Simon Ferry as well. You know, it's six of your outfield players that are in a defensive area of the pitch. I know Flynn and Josh like to get forward, but primarily their role is a defensive role. And I think once Simon went off injured and Hamish came on, things changed pretty quickly. You know, we looked more attacking, looked more dangerous. But like you said, I think although Hamish didn't have a particularly great game against Clyde, I certainly think with the formation that Jim had, another creative sort of player up top wouldn't have been a miss.
Well, but by the end of the game, it was almost like a 4-1-5 we were playing at one point, because it was just Scott Brown. It was in midfield because he had as many forwards playing.
That's because everyone else is injured.
Just to get well, that's right enough. Just to try and get the point, but he was on. He got injured quite early on. Seemed to kind of recover fit, and then 20-25 minutes he was subbed off again. Huge blow for him, but it also means then you're making another early change. Barkley's last game, he only lasted 3 or 4 minutes against Cove. It's a worrying trend for Simon.
Yeah, on a personal note for him, he'll be disappointed. You just wonder whether is he coming back maybe a game too soon on both occasions. Is there an element to say, well, he could maybe have waited a week? Depends what the reoccurring injury is. As you said, he went down quite early on, lasted a couple more minutes and then had to come off. In terms of the game, it wasn't potentially the worst thing to happen, because it meant we'd put on a creative-minded player. But for Simon, on a personal note, I'm sure he'll be scratching his head and just wondering what his next step is.
With that creative-minded player, we're still giving the ball away on a couple of occasions, I think especially second half. So he needs to just keep an eye on that as well. And maybe it's just you don't want to see somebody out of the team, but I just think because he's played so many games since he's been here, and has that kind of element of being undroppable, if you like, maybe just taking him out of the team and knowing how well that, say, Naya Payne can play, or Grant Savory can play now in midfield. So, and even somebody like Jordan Brown could step in. Maybe just take him out of the game for a few games. Lyle Cameron sitting on the bench as well, could bring him in. So there are options there, but it just a reminder that maybe he isn't as untouchable as maybe he thinks he is. I don't know. I don't think he's that kind of person, but I just think maybe a wee bit of my rotation for
him. Yeah, you said it in commentary on Saturday. You give a ball away against Clyde, and he almost did. You appreciate mistakes will happen, but you want players to learn from that mistakes. And you didn't want to see exactly the same thing happening the following week. And you mentioned in your commentary on Saturday, he almost did exactly the same thing by giving the ball away in the middle of the park. I don't know whether it's just lapse of concentration or complacency, but as you said, maybe a wee spell on the sidelines wouldn't have been the worst thing, just to refocus him, because he's played a lot of games, and you know, it's a standard that he set himself, you know, back end last season, and for large periods of it, he was a really good player. He hasn't quite hit the heights this season, a wee bit like Lyle Cameron, but there's definitely, I think there's that number 10 spot up for grabs. Whether it's going to be Grant Savory, who's taking his chance really well at the moment, Naya Payne, you've got, as you said, Lyle Cameron, Hamish Ritchie. I think it's an area of the park that we're screaming out for someone with creativity, and there's an option for these guys to come in. If they can stake a claim, they'd probably get to keep a place in the team.
Chances were few and far between. Andy McCarthy had a really good effort. It went just wide. And we'll come on to his injury as well, because I managed to speak to him after the game, and he was telling me that that shot actually caused his injury. So I think maybe a nosebleed situation for him or something. But just before he went off, Grant Savory had the best chance of the half, hitting the post, hitting the inside of the post, and just going across. Again, maybe on another day that might have just spun and gone in.
Yeah, you're needing the luck at times, and as you said, just a couple inches inside the post and you felt like they've hit the post and gone in. It just sort of summed up the way we were. We weren't really creating much, and then when we did get something target, you know, it's beating the keeper, but it's hit the post with our chances a couple of minutes earlier as well, that they just went wide of the post. Small margins, but then, you know, you've got to maybe make better chances than the ones that we did. You know, they're sort of mid to long range efforts, and need to work it better.
Of our creative players, if you like, Grant was the one that you felt, if we were going to get anything out of that at that stage, it was going to come from Grant.
Yeah, like I said, for day one, he's come in, he's put himself about a lot, he's done well, and he is quite a creative player. A lot of good things come through him, and you did feel on Saturday that if anything positive was going to come, it was going to come through Grant. I thought Russell McLean was a wee bit quiet on Saturday, and then obviously the changes in the first half of McCarthy and Ferry going off, it was a wee bit disjointed, but the best chances of the game came through Savory.
And then 10 minutes before half time, then McCarthy does come off, Naya Payne then comes on. So you've made two changes, and forced changes 10 minutes before half time. Two of your midfield three is now sitting on the bench injured, and Grant is dropped into midfield. Naya's gone up front with Russell McLean. So it's, again, it's what we've been saying the last couple of weeks. You're bringing people on who could easily be in that starting lineup, and somebody like Grant, who's obviously shown us that he can play in a multitude of roles as well. These changes are maybe not as bad as you would think. Whereas maybe last season or the season before, you think somebody's coming injured, think, oh, right, far we're going to play. We're going to have to play maybe a left back in centre midfield or something like that just to make a team. Whereas now we've got such a deep squad with quality in it, injuries are still bad, but it's nae as bad as what it might have been.
Yeah, this time last year, if you got players injured, it would get two players going off, you would. Whilst there's players to come in with respect, you'd prefer them players that had gone off injured still to be playing. Now, as you said, you've got quality on the bench. You said on the bench on Saturday, you had Danny Strachan, Lyle Cameron, Hamish Ritchie, and Naya Payne. These are players that easily stake a claim in the squad, to start the game. So it's disappointing that they've gone off, but these players, they've got to take that opportunity and chance when they are given a chance to come off the bench. Again, Hamish Ritchie, the best part of an hour, he's got to try and force himself back into Jim's plans and, you know, try and make stuff happen.
And of the East 5 players, I think we'd mentioned it last week, Kyle Connell was the one that, if anything was going to come from them, it was going to be him. And he had a really good shot. It actually took us all by surprise because he took it so early on the edge of the box and it just went wide. I don't think Brett had really seen it or was prepared for it because he never moved, and it, either he was really confident that it was going wide or as I said, I don't think he was really that prepared for it, and it just went wide, and that was just approaching half time as well.
There's a fine line between confidence and complacency. That was, I'd be surprised if Brett knew much about it until he's actually gone past him. Thankfully it wasn't on target, because if it was on target it would have been a goal, but as you said, he teen it so early, and I think that's what caught everybody by surprise. Yeah, just a fraction to the left of Brett, and it would have been a goal.
As I said, he was the one that was always going to cause us problems. I think he had two or three half chances, maybe. I think it's maybe being generous. He was always the one that was going to get anything for them, as he did into the second half. 3 minutes in, your team talk at half time has just gone completely out the window. Mistake by David Wilson at the back, or is it just good play by Connell?
Bit of both, but I'll look at it from a Peterhead point of view. I think it is poor defender. He's slightly wrong side, rather than his body facing the player. He's too square, and I think that's what causes the problem. He can't see Connell until Connell's basically at him. If he'd opened up his body a little bit more, he'd have probably seen what was going to happen, probably cut it out. And then it basically becomes a race with each other. Connell's got the strength and beautiful lob over Brett Long. We've praised Long quite a few times this season, but he didn't really have much chance for that. Disappointing with the, as you said, your half-time team talk goes out the window and Wilson's caught out. I think that was a poor bit of defending.
Maybe needs to be a wee bit of smarter or even maybe a bit more stronger as well, try and not give up that space so easily as well, because it was, I think it was, this is maybe where the back three comes into it, because him and Jason and Andy McDonald are so sort of spread across the pitch, nobody can sort of get there quick enough to cover. Maybe even if you were just playing a back two, I don't think anybody was going to get there.
No, I think it's too far out for Brett Long even to come into the equation. That was never going to come into it. But I think he's got to be stronger. It's okay, I'm getting past, but you're not encouraging him to give him a nudge. But just, make yourself stronger. And, if he does go down, then the referee's got a decision to make. Neither you're advocating for a player to get sent off or anything. But you know, just try and be a bit stronger, because once he basically, Connell just brushed him off, and then he had an easy chance to make the finish against Brett Long. But I think the initial problem was he was too square on, and he didn't. He seen what pass was going to happen, but he couldn't really affect it because he's too square.
We mentioned Savory earlier on about if any chances were going to come, it was going to come from him. He had two or three efforts, I think, second half, where he gets himself in good positions, he creates that half yard of space or a yard of space, and he's blasting him wide or he's blasting him over, just a little bit more kind of composure from him. You almost feel as though he was trying too hard.
Yeah, he's too eager, is he? And you got that impression on Saturday. It's almost like he was wanting stuff to happen, but it was happening too quick. And you're just needing a little bit of composure, whether you're late back off wide or late inside to somebody coming onto it. But 10 out of 10 for effort, but I just think he just needs a little bit more composure. But I think that'll come in time.
And then we finally get to see Ryan Duncan make his debut about, 7 or 8 weeks later than what was anticipated. He came on for David Wilson. That's what I was saying earlier about, so many four of us were on the park at the time. And he made an immediate impact. Corners, let's talk about the corners, because the corners, I don't know, I was speaking to my dad yesterday about it, and weren't sure if that was a deliberate ploy to play them all near post, or if they were just that bad, because it was Grant who was taking them for a start, and then Hamish did it, but then Hamish was doing exactly the same as what Grant was doing.
Yeah, set pieces, we've mentioned this now for over 2 years, and set pieces at Pierre Football Club have been particularly poor. I think if you look at the goals that we get for corners or free kicks, there wouldn't have been many in the last couple of years. Mm. And if it was a deliberate ploy on Saturday to put in that sort of corners, surely after the second or third time that it's not quite working, you would think we'll need a change.
Plan B,
plan C, yeah, it's all topical. You know, you want to change it. But I think we did, when Ryan Duncan took a corner, he sort of said, well, you know, stuff that, I'm going to put it right under the keeper and cause problems. We said right at the start of the game that set pieces would be crucial with the weather, mm-hmm. and yet the set pieces were so, so poor. I generally hope it was not a ploy and it was just, you know, really bad luck that the corners were so poor, but, you know, they need to work in it, I think.
There was maybe that fear of, trying to play it into the box and the wind then taking it, and they were just keeping it a little bit, I tried to keep it lower, but it was going maybe too low.
But then surely in that instance you would take a short corner and then try and work
angle,
it, change the angle, rather than the corner that they did produce, because it wasn't really a corner into the box, it was more of a, we'll put it in an area and hope for the best. And you just gave the advantage back to his fife.
Or you'd if it, Ryan Duncan, they just, as you said, put it on top of the keeper and he almost scored direct
for
the corner.
Yeah, because the keeper flapped it, and with the way the weather was, you know, we've seen it before, you get a ricochet or something, things can happen for you. That's why the corners from particularly our near side were poor, and then Ryan Duncan goes to the other side, but it's a really good cross in with his left foot. With the weather, the way it was, keeper came for it and flapped. It's probably one of our best set pieces we've had in the game.
And there was about a 5 minute spell where everything was just in and around the East Fife box. It was corner after corner, it was cross after cross, but there wasn't that final element where you even get testing the keeper, which I think was the big issue, and then obviously it petered out. I think it was a foul in the end, or
yeah.
something. And you just hit, I think from an East Fife point of view, I thought, right, that's us. We've survived that little spell. Let's just kind of regroup that. And but from a Peterhead point of view, you're thinking, oh well, we're just never going to get anything with this game now.
With a lot of the ball, but it was a lot of huffing and puffing. I don't think we really put much pressure on them. McCain, as you said, with a couple of set pieces, but the way the set pieces were, I don't think East Fife were particularly worried about giving away corners. They were quite happy. They'd regroup, assess it, and deal with it. Because, as you said, the corners were that poor.
A lot of big guys in the East Fife team as well.
Yeah, exactly. So they'd have been quite happy, with the way things were. We've got a couple of tall boys as well, but we didn't really do much with it. And, particularly disappointed with the set pieces.
Eventually got the equaliser then on 74 minutes. Ryan Duncan it was who scored in his debut. He'll obviously take the plaudits, but Diape ended really well on the left-hand side to get the opening and get the cross in as well.
Again, something we spoke about, when a player comes on, you've got to try and make your impact, and I certainly think he did. On Saturday night, he had a couple of good pieces of play, and that was particularly one, got down the byline, but as you said in your commentary on Saturday, not only has he gotten to the byline, but he's managed to pick somebody out. He's not just lumped into an area. He's seen Ryan Duncan at the back post. Really good ball in. And as you said, Ryan Duncan will take the applaudits, but a lot of credit's got to go to Naya.
He almost sort of flies under the radar something quite a lot of the times, Naya, because you know he's not banging in the goals, but he'll get an assist here or there. But he works really, really hard for the team. He gives his all, and I'm not saying that's not right for everybody, but he will give 110%. He'll give everything for the cause. And it's, I think every team has that one or two players in their squad. I think Naya is definitely certainly one of ours that, you know, doesn't get the recognition that he maybe deserves, but for me he does a lot of hard work and deserves the praise that he should be getting.
Well, I think it's a fair point actually, because you'd probably look at the Peterhead team, and I think if you were to come up against Naya, you wouldn't be, with the greatest respect, you wouldn't be overly fussed about playing against him. Mm-hmm. But the work that he does do, a lot of running, I think that's sometimes the thing that you don't see in games, where he'll do a lot of off the ball running in terms of trying to create space, or whether it's pressing defenders, pressing midfielders. So yeah, a lot of his work probably goes under the radar.
And there was one really I don't even care if you call it a chance. Russell McLean found himself in a bit of space, I think it was maybe the last minute of the game or so, and looked as though he was about to pull the trigger, and then just out of nowhere Aaron Dunsmore just flies in and stops what would potentially have been maybe a match winning effort.
Yeah, we said on Saturday that if East Fife got a point, then that was probably the chance that they'd look back, and I think that's what got us the point, because it was one of the, I think if it hits a target it's going to go in unless the keeper pulls up for a really good save. But Dunsmore, he's come across, he's done for your needing for your defenders, put his body on the line, and you know, got themselves a point back down the road.
There was a few times actually during the game that you felt that East Fife were sort of putting their bodies on the line, if you like. You know, they were charging things down. They were you know, blocking crosses, blocking shots. And I just wonder if these are like the kind of things that happen once there's a change of manager. They get a little bit of a lift to get that extra half yard of pace, or you know, they just want to maybe impress the new boss, if you like.
Yeah, they're maybe aware that January is just around the corner as well. A new manager's come in, you always get that bounce from a new manager. And I don't think Stevie Crawford would be that disappointed with his team's performance. If, you know, I kind of said right at the start, neither manager have been happy with a point, but I think now that it was a point that settled in the game, Stevie's probably the happier of the more content of the two managers. He's unbeaten. They didn't play particularly well. They got a goal. They defended reasonably well. I think there's certainly things that Stevie will work on for East Fife.
So ending 1-1, as we said, it was, you could argue back and forth whether it's a point gained or 2 points lost, but as you said earlier, you just feel as though that if you are going to try and get away from this relegation battle or not get sucked into it, you know, drawing against Clyde and then drawing against East Fife is maybe points where you look back at the end of the season and think, well, we've gotten somebody with those games, we've been a bit more comfortable.
Yeah, I would hate to look back at the end of the season and think, my word, if we'd beaten, you know, Clyde, held on because we were 2-0 up, if we'd gotten something against East Fife, we'd just played that little bit better. You know, that was a difference. I think we said December's got to be a big month because of the fixtures that we had. You know, when you go into the Dumbarton game, you really have to win it. That gives you 5 points out of 9. It's not great, but it's certainly not the worst. It would be an okay return, I think. But, you know, really, you're looking for 7 or 9 points, but also you're going to get that.
Okay, so let's get the thoughts now of the manager, Jim McAnally. Here's what he had to say after the game.
Okay, Jim, how'd you sum that one up?
I don't know. It was a strange game, obviously, having to make early substitutions. Weather wasn't behaving itself. And then the Worcester, a terrible goal. And then we've left to chase a game. And we could have played better. We didn't get the ball out wide enough. We didn't get it out wide. It's hard. It's hard. Conditions like that are hard. And when you're winding, again, I haven't seen the day probably when we might have lost that game. But we kept at it and we were playing particularly well. You know, our goalie's not a safe to make in the whole game. Their goalie probably should have had more saves to make, but not enough, although we had a bit of pressure. You know, we didn't really have enough close-cut chances. So, frustrating to lose to a mistake, but, you know, it's admire our spirit because, as I keep repeating myself, the team even get younger the day when Ryan goes on, Ryan Duncan. And I'm so pleased for him to get his first senior goal. That's brilliant. Brilliant for him and good. Everybody could see him, you know. So it's another young player that hopefully we can help along.
I'm looking to go in one up from save his post.
Aye. I mean, against the wind, we probably still were the better team. And then, as I said, to lose the goal so early in the second half and it being a mistake, it's hard to take. So, you know, we had to kind of keep at it and just, we made the changes to try and get an extra forward on and thankfully we got there. You know, we never really had, as I said, any clear-cut chances to go and win it after that. But sometimes it's not hard to play with a wind at your back, and that's why you do need to get out in the wide areas and try and control the game a wee bit more. So no, it's another game, I suppose, where, you know, we, on pressure, we could have won it, but we maybe didn't do enough.
Was it important maybe not to lose the game then?
It was massive not to lose it, I think. I mean, this league, there's Clyde, Biala, and no losing keeps that gap to East Fife and all. So, and I think we've maybe lost something like 2 games in 10 or something like that. So although we're not winning enough, we've kind of got out of the habit a wee bit of hopefully losing. And the good thing for me is the disappointment. The players are disappointed. You know, they felt as though they could have done better. But, you know, you could make excuses for them. I mean, that is, when you lose to your midfield, and they're your midfield that probably are the more defensive type midfielders. So we ended up with a hell of a lot of forwards in the park. And, you know, kind of it's a good side, but it can also be a negative side.
And we finally got to see Ryan Duncan. How pleased were you for him finally to get on and then score the goal?
I mean, I'm delighted for him. I mean, you can see he's a big boy. He's a strong big boy. And he's got a lovely touch. I mean, he nearly scored with a corner, and that didn't surprise us because I've already seen him with him in a bounce game, and set pieces are, he's particularly good at set pieces, and he's got a lovely left foot, so hopefully we can help him on his way. We just need to wait and see if we can keep him longer than January. Obviously, I was a wee bit reluctant to put him on last week just because I didn't want to rock the boat with anybody in case he's not here long term. But, you know, hopefully Aberdeen will let us keep him and I think it'll be good for him.
Jim's saying that obviously that he's disappointed and saying the players are disappointed as well, which I guess is a good thing that they recognise that it's maybe a missed opportunity.
Yeah, I think they'll be disappointed that, like I said, for me it's 2 points dropped. You maybe get the feeling in the dressing room they feel the same, that they're disappointed that it's a draw. Again, Jim saying it, just the Clyde result as well. It's important to lose the game, but, you know, what if you'd won that game? You know, it stretches that lead over East Fife. So, yeah, I think it's a good thing that Kenny said in the interview there that 2 defeats in 10, if you can just turn a couple of them draws into wins, you know, things are looking a lot healthier.
You mentioned Ryan Duncan there as well. A couple of points that it's maybe worth looking at. First one, he's going to be set pieces. As we said earlier on, set pieces are maybe when they were 40 at the minute. He reckons he's going to be good as a dead ball specialist, left footed. We just have to see how that pans out.
Yeah. he hasn't got much competition within the squad for set pieces. They've been particularly poor. I think Ryan Conroy, he's one that can put in a good cross time to time, a good free kick. So if Ryan Duncan's able to add that to our squad, then that, you know, it can only be a good thing.
Probably the mere crucial thing that he brought up there as well is the possibility of Ryan staying a little bit longer. Obviously, the loan was supposed to be just until January. We think that was the reason for that was because there's a possibility he might be getting Aberdeen's first team, you know, after the new year. However, that injury has obviously maybe changed things slightly. I think if you're Aberdeen, you maybe don't want him to bring him back. You want to get him that game time. You were hoping to get him. And the best place probably would be to stay here.
You know, looking at it from our point of view, I would like Ryan to stay. He's definitely got something about him. It was just really unfortunate the injury came about, and also he's been out for 6 to 8 weeks. If he goes back to Aberdeen, can you see him playing regular first team football? I would hazard a guess at the moment, probably not. So surely, you know, it'd be in the best interest of all parties to leave him playing, you know, and assess it again in the summer, which is completely different. But at the moment, I think there's maybe a chance that we can keep him.
It would probably be good for all parties. It'd be good for him to get game time. He's going to get his fitness up. It'd be good for Peterhead because they're going to get another player who's potentially going to be another creative player that adds to the squad. And for Aberdeen's point of view as well, they potentially could be getting a player that's returning to them at the end of the season, you know, fitter and maybe even a slightly better player as well. So in preparation for them next season.
Yeah, I think when you look at the Aberdeen squad just now, I think there's many players that you'd probably move out of the squad at the moment. Aberdeen's got quite a lot of competitions in that forward area places, so I think leaving them here would be the best option. As you said, Aberdeen would probably get a better player going back for it. I think it's a win-win for all parties, really.
I think the fact that everyone's won 3 in a row now as well, it just eases the need for him to go back too quickly as well.
Maybe eases the pressure on Stephen Glass a little bit as well.
Right, so we'll hear from a couple of the players as well. We're going to hear from Josh Morgan, but first of all, we're going to hear from the goal scorer, Ryan Duncan.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming for you here, kind of frustrating a couple of months.
Yeah, obviously I got injured in my first training session, and it was frustrating a few months, but just glad to be back on the pitch.
Yeah. How was your kind of your rehab been over the last 3 months?
It's been tough, yeah. I mean, it wasn't too long of an injury, kind of 7 weeks or so I was out for, but it was tough to get things back up, but I think I'm hopefully getting there again, and hopefully be fine.
Yeah, as an Manchester, he's used you in a couple of bounce games, but to finally get out there and get some senior minutes, it's got to be a good feeling for you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, bounce games are good for fitness, but that's something preparing you for a proper league game. To be honest, yeah, I just prefer to get out there. Yeah.
Really, you sound like you didn't expect your first goal to come from a header.
Yeah, I mean, the height of me, I've never really headed the ball that much, so. It was a surprise, but I kind of went in slow motion, really. The wind just held it up, but, you know, I was like,
kind of came close a little bit earlier as well with the corner that the keeper's just managed to get over it.
I actually thought the keeper was going to go over the keeper and go in, because the wind was just taking it, but, you know, we had a few chances before that. The goal was coming, I think, to be fair.
Quite a young team was there as well, and you feel like you kind of settled in quite well.
Yeah, obviously, it helps that there's a lot of young boys there. And, I've played against a lot of them over the years in youth academies, so no, I fit into the team quite well.
Obviously, you kind of hear until maybe next month that you can't be able to stay a bit longer given how the first bit of the season's gone.
Yeah, I suppose we just have to wait and see what happens. That's been talked about it, but I just have to do my part and see what happens.
I guess the most important thing for you is kind of game time wherever you're at.
Yeah, definitely. I just want to go out and play men's football.
Josh, 1-1 in the end, how do you sum it up?
It was a tough game to fair in tough conditions, but disappointed with the draw, but the way the game was going, I think we done well to dig in and get a point, so not happy, but under the circumstances of the weather and stuff, well, the draw will do it for today. Looking forward to next week.
Was there maybe an element that both sides knew that they couldn't lose the game?
Yeah, I think so. It was a big game, obviously. Both of us are lower in the league, but I think that was the element of the game. No one could lose, so it was good that we never lost and we dug in and got a point.
Of the few chances there was in the game, say if it's at the post, there's a couple of other efforts going wide as well. In the end, disappointing, haven't they got in merit in the game then?
I think so. I think definitely second half we had more chances. I don't think Brett actually had many saves to make, one or two, but I think we definitely had more of the chances, and on another day they might go in, so we're a bit unlucky in that aspect.
Just the early substitutions sort of muck up the kind of flow of the team or the setup?
A wee bit, but Saez obviously hurt his back. There was a lot of tackles going in that were quite
feisty,
quite bad, yeah. So, a wee bit, but we can't make any excuses, you know what I mean? So, we'll need to look forward to next week then, big game.
Having gone 1-0 down and you've gotten back into the game, you've gotten the point, is that more a point game then, do you think?
Yeah, definitely, because obviously 1-0 down, a loss today would have been really bad, so. Definitely a point game.
And with Clyde winning as well, does that just make it a little bit better, I guess? Or does it make you think, it's 2 points drop?
If Clyde won and we lost today, that wouldn't have been good. So, definitely a point game. And we'll look forward to next week and hopefully put a better performance and get 3 points.
And for yourself as well, you had a couple of efforts. You like to get in that sort of outside right kind of position. I think now we kind of know what you're going to do. It's just going to try and hit it.
I need to get my shots more on target. I think I'm getting in the positions well, but I'm just not putting in, you know, the final ball. But hopefully that'll come as I play and get more confident.
And just how bad was the conditions out there to be playing?
Yeah, really bad. I couldn't feel my feet or my hands or anything. It was very, very bad. But again, we've played in that before and gotten results. So I think we're okay at getting results when it's like that on that pitch. But tough conditions.
If your lad couldn't feel his feet or his hands there, maybe we would have been better running a bit better.
I kind of felt on Saturday. I wasn't even playing, it was cold.
He puts in a I guess what we call it, a typical Josh Mulligan performance. Now, you know, you know what you're going to get with him. He's full of confidence, he gets the ball and he just wants to get by that fullback.
Yeah, he defends well, but you can see he's the sort of player that wants to attack. He likes to get forward, and as you said, we now came what his game's about and what he's going to try and do. But as you said in the audio there, if he gets his shots more on target, I certainly think he could be getting a few more goals as the season goes on.
I think that's something that he's looking to add to his game, certainly the way he was speaking there, and he's disappointed he's not hitting the target a bit more as well.
Yeah, for a wing-back, full-back, whatever you want to call him these days, that is a good thing that he's disappointed that he's not getting his efforts on target, because as we've seen at the start of the season, he got a couple of goals. He gets into that good areas, and you know, you're just looking for him to be a wee bit more clinical.
Got a point, but we slipped down a place. We're back down to eighth. We've still got 6 points above East Fife. We're a point above Dumbarton. A point behind Clyde and Alba, but this is how funny it is. We're 3 points behind Falkirk and sixth, which you know, one of those draws turned into a win would have just been
but
a point behind.
I'm sure I looked that if we'd won the game on Saturday, we'd have been 9 or 10 points off second. And I know that's quite. But then, you know, you'd have been 9 points clear of the team in bottom, sitting seventh, but you'd have also been 9 or 10 points behind the team in second. It's a crazy league, but it just shows you that you can beat anybody on their day, and I think that's why it's important that the teams around you try and get wins, because you know you think other teams are going to pick up that surprise result from time to time as well. It's a really competitive league this season.
And I seen it was Ali Lovett scored for Clyde.
I did see that as well, yeah.
Plastered all over social media because he scored for about 30 yards or something ridiculous like that. Anyway, Jim had mentioned there it was just two losses in the last 10, which is right. It was two wins followed by two draws followed by two losses, then two wins, two draws.
Oh no.
Does the pattern continue? We're next two is away to Dumbarton and away to Montrose. You'd like to think that pattern wouldn't carry on, but it's just weird how it sort of worked out in the last 10 games.
It's a good start to have as well. well, obviously we don't want that pattern to continue or else we're in for two defeats. I think we've got to look forward to the Dumbarton game. We've got to go in positive as well. I think there's a real good chance to try and get a win. Like I said, it's a team roundabout us. We've got to try and beat them. And then you look into the Montrose game, which, you know, they're sort of flying under the radar a wee bit. They're not quite involved in a scrap down at the bottom, but they're not quite flying at the top. So I think there's, you know, certainly something you can get out of that game as well. But, you know, we've got to take care of Dumbarton first.
So I think the Dumbarton game, it was at the start of the month, it probably was an important game, but I think it just becomes even more important given the last two results. A third draw, maybe, and depending on how East Fife get on, you know, you might just be pulled back into there again as well. So I think this one's even more important than the previous two.
Yeah, based on as you said, the results we've had, I think the worst case scenario would be that we lose to Dumbarton and East Fife win. And then it just means you've got 2 points out of nine that you'd really, shouldn't I say you expect to get 9 points, but, you know, a great chance to get the 9 points because it's, you know, teams that you're fighting out with. I think Saturday's game becomes, you know, even, you know, it's grown in the stature of the game based on the two results that we've had.
Last time, obviously, we thumped them 5-0, which was a bit of a surprise result for everybody. The last three down there, though, we've lost 2 and 1-1, lost 3-2 and lost 1-0 and 1-1-0. So it's fairly tight games normally, other than the one at home where I think we can all admit that the wind sort of played a factor in that one.
Yeah, I think wind assisted 5 in that game. It was that bad. I don't think it'll be that sort of score on Saturday, but you're looking to come out with a positive result. By that, I mean you're looking to get the win. I think a draw and a defeat isn't even going to be good enough. I really think we've got to win the game.
And I think Steve Farrell won the Manager of the Month back in September, or for September, I should say. And since then, they've won just one game in their last nine and scoring just 7 goals. So it's a slide that's seen them, you know, all the way back down to second bottom.
That's another good start you've got tonight. You're full of them.
I'm full of something, aren't I?
There is. You sometimes get that, do you? You get the curse of once you get the Manager of the Month accolade that your team goes a wee bit awry. So again, a great opportunity for us. Again, Jim says it's only 2 defeats in 10, but you know there's only, you know, 2 wins in that group as well. So you got to try and turn these draws into wins, and I think if we start doing that, then we can look more up the table than behind us.
It's a slide that obviously he's felt since September, and that's almost been now not just 1 month, but it's 2 months. You'd like to kind of capitalise on that when you're doing there as well.
Yeah, I think their performances have obviously dipped, and you're looking to add pressure onto it. Their game, a bit like East Fife, Dumbarton will probably think they don't want to lose the game. But from our point of view, I think if we go down there and start well, you know, we did that against Clyde, we got into a 2-0 lead, but then we threw it away. You know, do the same the first part, get into a good lead, and then see what happens.
They've still got quality players, again, as we mentioned last week, for East Fife. You know, Dumbarton, they've got likes of Conor Duthie, Ross McLean, who are the guys that we're going to get anything for Dumbarton. They're going to get the goals, and at the back they've got, you know, a player like Gregory Buchanan, who's, you know, although maybe not everybody's cup of tea, is one of those kind of defenders who you quite fancy having in your team.
Yeah, he's one of them that likes to defend, is it? It's an old fashioned defender. He just likes to defend and you know, play to players that can play. And again, you're looking to see if Russell McLean and him, you'd imagine that would be a good battle on Saturday, and if Russell can come out victorious in that one, you think we'd be on to a favourable result.
It probably looking likely that we won't have Simon Ferret or Andy McCarthy, which obviously is going to be a blow. But as we've said previously, it does open the door for somebody else to come in and perform. You know, does Hamish come straight back in again? Then if he does, who else comes in? You know, does Lyle get a chance? Does Naya get a chance for the start? There's a lot of options there for him.
I think you've lost two. I certainly think Naya deserves a start. Hamish, I'm sitting on the fence of. Obviously, didn't do great against these five. He gave a ball away against Clyde and then resulted in the penalty. Can't say just one player that caused that draw, but there's maybe a cause to say, well, Lyle Cameron, he's waited his chance. Do you put him in and maybe drop Grant Savory back into midfield? We said he's done well last couple of weeks, he's done been there. Put him in with Scott Brown, put Lyle Cameron behind McLean, Naya wide. Yeah, but we've now got, as you said earlier on, we've got that players in the squad that you can change things. You've got players that can come in and do a job.
You might even just change things up totally and put Josh Mulligan into midfield as almost like the defensive sided player, and then put Danny Strachan at wing back. Again, there's loads of options. You will obviously lose that player up that right hand side. I know Danny's maybe not the same as what Josh is, but you know, at least you've still got an out and out sort of right wing back or right back playing there.
Had the game been at home, I think he might have gone with Josh in the wing to try and give you that attacking impotence, but then as obviously it's an away game, he might go with Danny Strachan. It's a good shout, because I don't think Danny's done anything wrong this last couple of weeks. It's just the form that Josh has been on has meant Danny's had to sit on the bench. But yeah, there's definitely a couple of different avenues that Jim could go down on Saturday.
And we just hope that run or pattern that we'll mention doesn't carry on, and we'll get another W into that sequence.
Yeah, I think if we get a win on Saturday, you then get 5 points out of 9, which looks much better than 2 or 3 out of 9. Because then you go into January and you've got a tougher run on paper, a fixture. So you're certainly hoping to get a win on Saturday.
Yeah, let's hope we get another. We get back onto winning ways, certainly, because I think that there is an element that we need to. We now want to start sort of almost clutching at points here and there. We need to start maybe making these draws into wins again.
Jim said before, you know, about the East 5 game a year ago, we might have lost that game. So now that we're getting a few draws, it's important that we start trying to make them into wins. And then that's the difference between, I think, hovering just above the relegation playoff and then just being in the promotion playoffs. It's that fine a margin, but you turn a couple of them draws into wins and things are looking a lot healthier.
Okay, on that note then, we will end it there for this week. I do hope you've enjoyed it once again. As always, my thanks goes to Martin for joining me. We'll be back again next week. So until then, on behalf of Martin Smith and myself, Colin Byers, thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll see you all again very soon.